Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. I'm Aaron Gurnis. This is Let's Talk Knoxville. My guest today is Knoxville City Manager Harold Stewart. And Harold, we had the council meeting last night, and one of the first things on the agenda was a discussion with Knoxville Raceway. Can you explain what Mr. Capitani brought to you and to the council as an issue, and what you guys decided to go with from there?
Well, the issue right now is that, as I'm sure most of the community is probably aware, that right after the Nationals race is completed, that there's some severe traffic issues as people are trying to get out of town. And there's been some concern expressed that more needs to be done to expedite that and to make sure that that can happen in a faster, more orderly fashion. And so the direction of the council last night was a willingness to try and partner and try to find solutions, although right now there isn't any real solutions on the table. So meetings will be held between the city, the county, and the raceway to kind of brainstorm and see ways of partnering and see if there's a solution that can be brought forward that works for everybody that will hopefully improve the situation.
Now, what are the concerns in terms of solutions? I know Chief Lasada said that he didn't necessarily have the manpower. Obviously, they're very busy during Raceway weekend as well, the police and the sheriff's. What kind of concerns were brought forth from the city's point of view, and what are the possible brainstorming solutions that you guys have thought of?
Well, the main issue is that we don't want to forego one problem and create another, or create a bigger problem elsewhere. And so that's mainly our concern, is that we want to find a solution that's actually going to help and assist and not simply pass that problem on to somebody else. We've looked at several things, from manually manipulating the lights and lengthening those times temporarily right after the race, to closing off some streets and further mandating turns and those kinds of things, possibly reducing Highway 14 down to one lane of traffic between Larson and Pleasant to help expedite traffic and those kinds of things. The main issue is trying to balance the needs for the actual parking there around the raceway and the parking that happens out in the residential areas. So while we could expedite the parking near the raceway, the VA hospital, Hy-Vee, and those kinds of things, it may bottleneck the parking that's taking place on the residential areas. So then you're just passing one frustration from one group of people on to another, which is what we're really trying to avoid. So we want to find a solution that hopefully works for everybody.
And so just there's going to be more further discussion on this within the city staff, and then it'll be brought forth in the next council meeting.
Yeah, what I envision happening is that we'll sit down and we'll talk about all options available. We'll talk about the pros and cons, why those solutions could work, why they may not work, and see if maybe through that discussion that we can find a solution that can be put on the table that kind of works for everyone and hopefully is cost effective and time effective, and but still kind of accomplishes the overreaching, comes up with a solution that basically satisfies the concerns.
All right. Another item on the agenda last night was some changing of the code regarding taxi cabs. Can you explain what occurred with that?
Well, my understanding is right now the current code limits the number of taxi cabs. I think one of the issues is that leads to somebody could come in and possibly buy all those permits and basically creates a monopoly on the industry within the community. And so the resolution last night was to try and free up some of that bottleneck and put some other requirements in there, such as requiring a proof of insurance and those kinds of things. And then also allowing basically an unlimited number of taxi cabs to be able to come in and join that service. Basically allows the market to dictate what the appropriate number is and those kinds of things, whereas it's not limited by the code or the bureaucracy of the government.
Was there already concern that maybe was there one particular individual or company that was buying up all these the limited number, or was it just something that someone brought up and was like, that doesn't necessarily need to be that way?
You know, I'm not really sure what the history was behind that. I kind of came in on the tail end of that. Yeah. So I'm not really completely sure why that was requested, but staff must have been directed at some point to look at that, and those were the recommendations they brought forward, and it seemed to have taken care of the council's concerns last night.
And also, what else was there? No, the City Recreation Center mm-hmm. had a early, now has an early withdrawal penalty.
Can you explain a little bit about your discussions with Eric Nemres on that and why that decision was made?
Basically, there was some concern with some individuals that were kind of abusing the system. They'd kind of found a loophole through it. You know, currently there are several different types of passes you can get through the rec center. There are different price points. Some people have figured out that they could sign up for automatic withdrawal, do that for a few months, and that was cheaper than signing up for a three-month pass. And then, so they would do automatic withdrawal for a few months and then cancel it and have that savings. That wasn't the intent of how those permits were structured and designed with their fee schedule. What we wanted to do was to try and find a way to close the loophole without really penalizing a lot of people. You know, one of the options that was brought forward was just that if automatic withdrawal was canceled, that there'd be a fee assessed so much per month remaining on that 1 year contract. We didn't really want to quite go to that heavy on a financial penalty, and so what the suggestion was to simply not allow an individual to sign up for automatic withdrawal again for a certain time period as the penalty for not upholding their end of the bargain when it came to that contract. Basically, what that'll do is it, you know, financially won't have an impact on them, other than the fact unless they can't really afford to come forward and pay for the time period that they need. And that was the solution that staff came up with, was to just have that time delay. And then, if somebody cancels on automatic withdrawal, they are not allowed to sign up for that option until 6 months has expired since that contract was in place. They're still able to purchase another membership, whether it's a 1 year, or 1 month, 3 month, whatever they feel, but they have to pay for it up front. And that'll save some of the time and the frustration, the abuse of the system later on down the line without penalizing the rest of the users.
Now, let's say I, you know, break my leg or something. Is there some sort of discretion given by the recreation manager or anywhere in there that with like a medical problem? Because I mean, if I break my leg after 3 months of a 12-month membership, I can't use it for 2 months. It doesn't seem is that fair to me. That's a genuine concern on my end.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we'll deal with those issues as they arise. I mean, again, our opinion, you know, our purpose is not to try and penalize people for things. I mean, stuff like that happens, and you know, it does allow people to exit out of that automatic withdrawal and cancel it with no penalty. Mm-hmm. But there is some risk. I mean, basically, the city's putting forward their good faith and credit by allowing people to pay that over a certain period of time. And so we also have some costs when it comes when we end that with the bank and things that the city takes on. And so we're just trying to minimize that. Again, we're willing to let people out of it. It's just when it comes up with that option. I mean, there's some risks that the city's taking on, some costs that the city's taking on that we absorb, and we're trying to minimize that as much as possible. So we will look at those as they come on a case-by-case basis. Again, we'll allow people to cancel those policies. The question is when people are abusing that, how we handle that in an effective and efficient manner. Obviously, you're never going to find a solution that's perfect for everybody. We feel that this kind of closes those loopholes, will discourage those that are abusing the system, and hopefully after that settles out, then we can talk about cases that are the exception.
Okay. And there's some items that received less discussion last night that maybe you want to highlight or bring up. Is there anything in that case?
Nothing really comes to mind right now. You know, we had some street closures with some events coming up in the community. Rezoning. Some public hearings are published for some rezonings and things for some concerns of residences within the community that will be coming up at a future date. Overall, I think it was a good council meeting, some good discussions going forward, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to help keep Knoxville moving forward.
That was Harold Stewart, my guest today on Let's Talk Knoxville. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Let's Talk Pella is up next.